And the reason for this book was to show the importance of a holy marriage and how a romantic relationship was to unfold. And the theme is God's view of marriage and sex.
Welcome to the Walk 365 podcast, where lifelong friends and Christians, Richie Carter and Minister Mike, are on a mission to grow their daily relationship with God. Join them as they walk you through the Bible in 365 days. If you're ready, let's jump into your daily dose of the walk.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Rich?
Man, we are at the fifth and final book of wisdom.
This the last one?
This is it.
So we like real wise after we finish it?
Well, we should be. because this is that book, you know, that...
Dun, dun, dun. I tried to get the spouses to come to this one. I tried.
Yeah, my wife, her calendar was clear. Mm-hmm. I told her what we was doing. Mm-hmm. She ain't checking my other calendar.
My wife ain't even here.
Right.
She made an appointment to go to.
So, what book are we talking about here?
We are talking about the Song of Songs. It was, like you said, it's the fifth and the final book of wisdom. It was authored mostly by, well, nobody knows.
Nobody knows for sure.
Nobody knows for sure. And different Bibles will say different things. Mm-hmm. But nobody knows for sure. Some say probably Solomon, could be Solomon. So they don't know.
Right.
The audience was the people of Israel, who looked up to King Solomon. Mm-hmm. Because he was the woke. He was wise.
He was the woke. He was wise.
Mm-hmm. He was wise. Right. And so he was respected. And the reason for this book was to show the importance of a holy marriage and how a romantic relationship was to unfold. And the theme is God's view of marriage and sex.
Say the last part one more time. The theme.
God's view of marriage and sex. You see, this is the book in the Bible that makes a few people a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's kind of, is very descriptive.
Right.
But in a very poetic and tasteful way.
Right. Because it is coming from the woke.
Yay.
So let's start with that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, you know, let's get started here. You ready?
Let's go.
Okay. So the Song of Songs, which is from Solomon, mm-hmm. which is Solomon's.
Right.
So the Song of Solomon. This is a Hebrew idiom, kind of like the Holy of Holies,
okay.
The King of Kings. Mm-hmm. It's a Hebrew way of saying it's the greatest of things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a book of songs and poems Solomon wrote to his wife. Okay. It's over 1,000 songs. Mm-hmm. It's his greatest hits of love.
So let me get this straight. This is a greatest hits production by the woke.
By the woke. This is it.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, Prince had his collection. But you got the one with the symbol now. This is that collection.
Just the symbol
alone. The greatest hits.
All right.
Right.
Whatever Solomon's symbol was.
God's greatest hits.
There it is. Amen.
All right. Amen. So, I mean, right from the beginning, it gets steamy. You know, you look at chapter one.
Steamy.
Yeah.
It's the Bible.
It gets steamy. I mean, they're kind of like, there are three plots.
Okay.
It's the courtship, the wedding night, and the marriage.
Okay.
All
right.
You know, you're married. We all went through all three of these phases.
Yeah.
Now, there are four main characters or people in this book.
Okay.
First one is the Shulamite woman. Mm-hmm. Based upon some of the scriptures that we've read, we know she was a poor peasant, mm-hmm. Woman worked in the field.
Yeah.
She does most of the talking,
mm-hmm.
and most of the book is centered around her.
Okay.
And then there's the beloved. Mm. Some people think this is Solomon. It could be, But mm-hmm. we know that this is a rich king who's going to basically, you know, sweep this poor, insecure woman off her feet.
Okay. All right.
And then there's the daughters of Jerusalem. You know, this kind of like, you know, the Shulamite woman's groupies, you know, friends.
Her clique.
A clique.
Her girls.
Her girls. Uh-huh. You know, they had cliques way back then too, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they're living their best life through her, you know, most groupies do.
Right.
And then you got the brothers.
Mm.
You know, big brothers.
The
entourage. Big brothers of the Shulamite woman who basically, their job is to make sure this woman stays sexually pure until marriage.
Okay, these are the bodyguards.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
They're her brothers, you know.
Yeah.
That's their job.
Yeah, I ran into a couple of those over my life. And I'm still here. Anyway.
Let's go to chapter one. Chapter one. Let's see. Verse 2 and 3. You know, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine.
Mm.
Because of the fragrance, your good ointments, your name is an ointment pure forth. Therefore, the virgin loves you. You know, drive me away. You know, right? We're getting steamy right off the bat.
Off the bat.
And if you think about, you know, what we're talking about here is like, your love is better than wine. Mm-hmm. They didn't have too much to compare stuff to back then, you know.
Right.
But wine was it.
But I mean, he using his words.
And, you know, because of your fragrance. So he smelled good.
Yeah.
He took baths, mm-hmm. you know.
I mean, they had his oils. They had the oils.
Had his oils going.
All of that.
So it starts off right off the top here. And then she has her response back and forth. But then we go to, 1:6. You know, on this part of the courtship, you know, we know that she's kind of like a woman of the fields because, mm-hmm. you know, don't look at me right now. You know, I'm dog, you know, because the sun has tanned me.
Yeah.
So she's been working out in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother's sons were angry with me. You know, they made me, you know, the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard, I've not kept.
Mm.
So, in other words, she's saying, you know, I'm not taking care of myself. I'm taking care of everything else.
But I'm a little disheveled.
I got to get myself right. Yeah. So, you know,
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on a second.
Now, that
take care of my own appearance.
This is a nerd moment right here, but mm-hmm. that don't stare at me because I'm dark. You know, that's an actual thing. In the Orient. There's a shame in being dark skinned. We lived in Okinawa for 3 years.
Okay.
So you see them walking around with umbrellas so they won't get dark.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this was in what, 2006? So, I mean, they still do it. There's something about this being a darker person. But then you go out to the beach, you see the fishermen, very dark-skinned Okinawans. Just a little nerd moment. Sorry, y'all. I'm sorry.
Hey, no problem with that, Mike. I like all of it. And if you really want to go there, too, we can go to, like, chapter 2, like, verse 7.
Okay.
And one thing that's there, it's, let me see, verse 2, 7. You hear this phrase a lot. In this book, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases.
Mm.
You know, so what they're saying there is that there's a time for love, but it's after marriage.
Right. Right.
So you really need a lot of self-control here.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure the brothers are going to make sure, too, that you got that self-control as well.
Yeah, they're going to help you out.
They're going to help you out a little bit.
In your moments of weakness, we're going to help you out.
They're going to help you out. So, right. So, and the courtship just goes back and forth with a lot of dialogue about, you know, how I like you and, you know, how you like me. And I'm going to compliment you. You can compliment me. And they talk about, too, in like, you know, verse in chapter 2:16, you know, my beloved is mine and I am his.
Mm-hmm.
You know. He feeds my flock amongst his lilies. But that first part, you know, exclusivity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm his. Yeah. He's mine.
Claiming it.
Mm-hmm. All this goes back and forth about, you know, my love and your love. So the Shulamite woman and the beloved, they go back and forth. They're just expressing, you know, love songs.
And she's also she's also advising her girls on, hey, you just keep waiting.
Right.
Your time is coming.
Right. Her groupies.
So the thing is, here's my thing. You know, is she kind of throwing a little shade? Like, I'm going to get married. Y'all still waiting.
I think she's sincere.
All right. I'll leave that alone.
I think she's sincere about it, right? But this goes on for a couple of chapters. You mm-hmm. know, this is a short book, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, let's get to... They're getting ready for the wedding.
Here comes the bride.
So we're talking about now. Let's go to like the wedding night.
Wedding night. All right.
So let's go chapter 4.
Okay.
Read 1-5 somewhere in there. You know.
All right. And I'm coming from the NIV version. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. What's funny?
He landed down, Mike.
Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shown. Coming up from the washing, each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with elegance. On it hanging 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies.
Well, he put the nose thick, ain't it, Mike?
He laying it down, man.
He just basically described this lady's body from head to toe. You know, eyes, hair, you know, smile and the lips. And
well, he's appreciating her.
Yeah.
He's appreciating the gift from God that he's been given.
And then you go to 4:16, and now she gives her basically her response. You know, she says she's basically inviting the man to come and explore her body in the way that he just described it.
Right, right.
Awake, O north wind.
Mm-hmm.
O come, O south.
Mm-hmm.
Blow up my garden.
Mm-hmm.
That his spices may flow out. You know, mm-hmm. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat his pleasures fruit. Yeah. Pleasant fruit.
I mean, it's, hey, the married bed is undefiled.
It's there. It's time. So now we can really jump in here to like chapter 5, because you know that ended actually the wedding night.
Yeah.
So we know they got married and this is great now, and
mm-hmm.
and now we get into the marriage. This is when, you know, life kicks in. You know.
Dun dun dun.
Now we're on that honeymoon phase, you know. Now we're getting ready to go out and have a good time, and they actually have a party that night somewhere around in there, and yeah. Take 5:1.
The feast.
They had a feast, and you know, everybody's telling everybody how good it is, and you know, mm-hmm. we're gonna have a good time, and then all of a sudden, in 5:2,
trouble.
You know, dude, come home a little early one night. He comes in a little early.
I have to cry sometimes.
Instead of hanging out with the boys. My way. He's like, you know, hey, you know, what's up? You know, it's time, you know, to, you know, going back in this room.
And, well, she already in the room.
I want to see you. Well, but he comes in from hanging with the fellas.
He should have been there on time. Out hanging with the boys.
Say, love should have brought him home
last night.
But in 5:3, she kind of makes a few excuses there, you know, and that's my opinion. When I say that, she says, you know, I rode, because he comes in,
mm-hmm.
he's talking like, hey, but he notices that she's not ready for what he's ready for.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So in 5:3, she says, you know, I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? So, in other words, it's kind of like, you know, we're kind of looking at it like a, that's not what he wants to hear right now.
Yeah,
yeah. He's in the mood to do this, and now it's kind of like, you're kind of making it inconvenient for me right now. So, is it too late? I'm already in the bed. I put on my clothes. It's inconvenient for me to basically meet your needs.
I'm just trying to figure out how she got home before him. Why didn't they go home together? It's the wedding night.
Well,
I mean, it's a different time.
It's a different time.
They did things different.
Did things then. A little different than Mike.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But in 5:6, you know, if you read that verse kind of carefully, it says, I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. Her heart leaped up when he spoke. She sought him, but she could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchman who went about the city found me. So what's really happening here is that, you know, in modern terms, dude left the house.
Right.
She felt guilty. Then she goes looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
The two reunite and reaffirm their commitment to each other.
They just had a little spat.
But we all go through
we
that.
We all go through that. We all had those moments where we not connected. Those times where we're out of sync. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But we out of sync. Right. One person is thinking this, the other person. And that's where communication comes into play.
Communication is key in any relationship.
It's vital.
I mean, one thing about this is that you really have to know the person and also have a good friendship with your mate, with your spouse.
Of course. Because if you didn't, the arguments, the disagreements that you have,
right,
you wouldn't have a marriage long.
Right.
Because I mean, we've been friends since the fourth grade.
Right.
And we know each other.
Right.
So can you imagine what those two women that walked down the aisle with us, what they've dealt with over the past years?
Right.
So, I mean, you have to be able to communicate.
You gotta be able to communicate. If we couldn't communicate, we wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
Right.
You gotta be able to forgive.
Right, you do.
You got to be able to forgive. Because it's not that big a deal. At the end of the day, I want my wife more than I want to be right.
Right. Now, let's talk about some of those greatest hits.
All right, let's go.
Because, you know, they're married now, and, you know, and love is love, you know. You're going to have those things. The honeymoon kind of over with right now, so they're really just married couple now.
Okay.
Let's look at 8:7.
All right.
So in 8:7, it says, you know, many waters cannot quench my love, nor can the floods drown it.
Mm-hmm.
If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. Basically, he's saying the love we got, it can't be quenched.
That's right.
Our love is that strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't even buy this love. You can't buy me out of this love. And then you actually go down to, you can look at
8:6.
You know, I should have said 6 first.
Well, let's see. What does that say? It says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death.
That's some strong love, Mike.
Yeah.
Strong as death.
Yeah. Because, I mean, except for Christ.
Right.
When we die, we got to wait for him.
Right.
There's no getting up from that.
Right.
Wow.
Under the sun.
Under?
That's some kind of love. The death do us part.
You know.
Like Fred Sanford said, that's that death part.
Mm. All right. Let's go back to
6:8. 6:8 and 9.
Oh, that says 60 queens there may be, and 80 concubines and virgins beyond number. But my dove, my perfect one, is unique, the only daughter of her mother, the favorite of the one who bore her. The maiden saw her and called her blessed. The queens and concubines praised her. That's a bad woman.
That's a bad woman there, Mike.
It's a bad, bad, I'm sorry.
She's a bad mama jamma. She stands out in the crowd.
Yeah. She stands out in the crowd.
She's the one.
She's the one.
She's the one. And she knows she's that one.
And that's what you should tell your wife.
That's right.
That's what you all should tell your wives.
Exactly.
Talk to them. Talk to your wife like you wanted her to know how you feel about her.
Right. In the end, Mike, the basically the beloved and the Shulamite woman, they kind of have like a, the way this book ends. If you want to go to the end of this thing here, let's see how it ends.
All right.
It says, the Shulamite woman says, "Make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices." So, basically, they have an open-ended love. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot like how love is supposed to be. You know, true love has no end. You know? And neither does this book. It doesn't end like, you know, somebody died and we buried them and that was it. It's open-ended. But that's how love really is supposed to be, Mike.
Yeah.
It's a continual. It's a circle, you know, when the two becomes one, mm-hmm. you know. And it just goes back to that. The good thing about this book, it's intimate.
Yeah. It's very intimate.
But not graphic. Mm. It's full of love.
Mm-hmm.
But not gratuitous. It's full of sexuality, but not gross.
That's true. That's true. The man and the woman, they're separated on the hunt for each other. He calls out to hear her voice, and she begs him to run away with her. And that's how the book ends.
Right.
Like you said, open-ended.
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 Open-ended. It's another one of those Solomon's books of wisdom. It's the last book of wisdom, right?
Yep.
And it answers a lot of questions, you know. But basically, I think the big thing is, it's God's view of marriage and sex.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that you have to do, not only to get your woman, but to keep your woman, keep your relationship going.
Yeah, you got to keep it. You got to keep it.
Got to keep it going.
You got to enjoy marriage at the right time with the right person.
With the right person. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, Mike, man, I'm telling you, this was another great lap.
Yeah, I like this. This was fun.
It was the final lap of the Wisdom Literature 5 of 5.
So is this the end of a season?
This is end of a season, Mike.
Wow.
So we're actually getting ready to go into something else. If you want to recap, you know, we talked about in the beginning, Job was about suffering.
Yep.
Why do I suffer? We can't know, but we get to know God.
Mm-hmm.
Got Psalms, which was the second. And Psalms was about worship. How do I engage with God? Yeah. And with my whole heart? Yeah. And you got Proverbs. You know, it was about wisdom. How do I live with God's wisdom? Then you have Ecclesiastes, which is about purpose. What's my purpose? You know, to fear God and enjoy life. And then you have the Song of Solomon. You know, marriage, purity.
Awesome.
And that's where we are, Mike.
That's it, man. We are. We should be wise by now.
Wiser. Not. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Wiser.
I know where you're going, so I'm going to leave it at that. And with that, on that note, man, I'm loving this walk with you, my best friend.
Man, I'm loving it with you too,
Rich. I'm elated to be able to share it with you and our listeners. So let's continue to walk together. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll see you on the next lap.
All right, we'll see you next time. Peace.